Good morning. I'm Anthony Morneau. It's 7:45. Could a lawsuit against the DACA program cost Texas a major business deal? Scott Morgan talks to one person who thinks it could.
While six states have joined Texas, the lawsuit could be risky when it comes to something Texas wants. Amazon.
They've been real out front in the idea of being pro-immigration. And I think when you're attacking DACA and you're filing a lawsuit to try to end DACA, it makes you appear as if you're hostile to immigration.
That's Dallas Morning News business columnist Mitchell Schnurman. He says with a history as a socially progressive company with an outspoken pro-immigrant policy, Amazon could react to Paxton's lawsuit by looking beyond Texas's two finalist cities, Dallas and Austin, for its much-wanted HQ2 site. He calls Paxton's lawsuit a self-inflicted wound that Texas never needed to fire.
It isn't necessary at all because this case is already being heard in three courthouses around the country.
Schnurman also recommends that Dallas, whose political policies tend to be more progressive than the states as a whole, get ahead of the lawsuit by pointing out that difference.
I think the best pitch for Dallas in this Amazon HQ2 is, that's not us.
None of the other six states in the lawsuit with Texas have cities in the running to land HQ2. In Commerce, I'm Scott Morgan.
Okay, so when it comes to immigration, we generally speak about people moving here into the U.S., but what about leaving the country? According to the Mexican census, there are about 250,000 people in the country who are born in the United States, but haven't been officially registered in either place. Fronteras reporter Jorge Valencia introduces us to a woman born in Phoenix, but living in Mexico.
Have you been to the MVD lately? It's crowded, it's stuffy.
Siga formada, señora.
The Mexican equivalent is no better. There's a guy whose job it is to keep people standing in line. And figuratively, Daniela Silva has been stuck here for years.
Silva, my name is Daniela Silva Bascal.
Back in 1996, Silva's parents were living in Mesa, and her dad was working at a tire disposal company.
And where were you born?
Phoenix, Arizona.
And shortly after she was born, Silva's parents brought her to their native state of Puebla.
I'm from Mexico. Es que ya me siento de aquí, completamente, entonces estoy.
Silva says she feels Mexican, but like her parents were in the U.S., she doesn't have proper documentation. She can't legally work, pay taxes, or vote. She found out when she was applying for public university. She logged onto the admissions page, and it told her that she's classified as a foreigner.
Ahí aparece como documento migratorio el mío. Entonces, ahí fue cuando cambió todo.
That's when everything changed, she says. The application for international students would cost her more than 30 times what her classmates paid. All because her parents hadn't been able to register her as a Mexican citizen when they moved back 22 years ago.
So this is a really complicated and common problem.
Jillian Wagman is an attorney with the Institute for Women in Migration, a nonprofit in Mexico City. Government statistics show that in recent years, more people have returned to Mexico than the other way around. One challenge for parents is in transferring and translating birth certificates. Another one is proving the certificate is legitimate in the first place. For that, you need an official seal called an apostille.
It is a word in English. You can get an apostille in the United States. The entity that issued the document issues apostilles. We just never use them in the United States.
The easiest way to get this seal is for the parent to get it in person, if they're still in the U.S. Wagman says transferring someone's identity to Mexico is a 10-step process that can take years.
If the family doesn't have a copy of the child's birth certificate,
parent going to get their birth
and
certificate
then signing the amendment form in front of a notary
to get an apostille nationality here in Mexico.
I'm really sorry. I think I went unconscious through that explanation.
It's really complicated.
Wagman says this would be more manageable if local American governments made children's documents more accessible to their parents, or if Mexican authorities were more flexible. In Mexico City, the Civil Registry Office is likely the city's busiest bureaucracy, says Director Claudia Luengas Escudero.
Es una guerra al subregistro.
Luengas says registering adult Mexican citizens is an ongoing battle. The most recent estimate says that in the city alone, more than 1.5 million people never got birth certificates.
Todos los días tenemos brigadistas que tocan puerta por puerta.
Luenga says city officials go out daily trying to register people. In some cases, the father denied paternity. In others, the parents themselves never had ID. The undocumented children of Mexican parents are simply not a priority. And it's not like they would get deported anywhere anyway.
No es delito. Incluso a quien perjudica más es a la persona no registrada.
Not having a birth certificate is not a crime, Luenga says. Daniela Silva has a birth certificate issued by the Arizona Department of Health Services. She just hasn't been able to regularize her status in Mexico because her certificate hadn't been apostilled by the Arizona Secretary of State.
Estado de Arizona, Departamento del Estado.
A few months ago, Silva's father met a Mexican-American lawyer at the country club where he's a waiter, and the lawyer offered to help pro bono. The lawyer brought them the birth certificate just last week.
Pero lo importante era esto, nada más.
With the apostilled birth certificate in hand, Silva may now be able to prove her Mexican citizenship. She says what she cares about the most is being able to study and get a job where she grew up. She says that maybe someday visiting the Grand Canyon would be nice. In Puebla, Mexico, I'm Jorge Valencia.